Unit 38, that's a 2-1, the TAP 36. Copy, that's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the community, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Bonjour, Melissa. How are you?
Bonjour.
How's everything?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. It's good to be back. Here
yes.
We go.
Glad to have you back. We've got a really good guest today, too. Hmm. We have... It is. You are a great guest.
No, I appreciate that.
Would you like to introduce yourself to everybody?
I absolutely would. So I am Captain J.P. Smith. I've been with the department for 24 years, give or take a day or two. Loving every minute of it. Yeah.
So where are you currently working, J.P.?
So this year, I am assigned to the Support Services Division, which covers the Records Unit, the Property and Evidence Unit, the Recruiting Unit, and the Training Academy.
Wow. Yeah. You stay busy.
Yeah.
A little. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's good. It's a lot of different challenges, a lot of different moving parts, and they like to keep me busy. So, but it's a great group of people I work with, some great supervisors, great staff. Everybody there is amazing.
Right.
Keep the place running. So.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah.
Now, how'd you get started in law enforcement?
So... I was born at a very early age in Maryland on the Eastern Shore, and but my roots go way back to Newport News. Matter of fact, I have relatives that are up there at Indian Plantation and the cemetery up there. So my family history is here before the Revolutionary War. But my mom and dad met each other in D.C. many, many years ago and moved to the Eastern Shore of Maryland. So I grew up there, and how I got involved or wanted to go into law enforcement is my mother worked for the FBI back in the late 50s, early 60s, around that time, for J. Edgar Hoover. And it was before a time when women could be agents, so she did what she could. She did a lot of fingerprinting and that kind of stuff, had a blast. She always talked about her time there. My dad was in the Army Security Agency, which is the precursor to the NSA that we have today. So he did a lot of top secret stuff. And when I was growing up, he worked at Westinghouse doing a lot of top secret development on things. And between the two of them and their faith and involvement in the local church there, it just kind of helped, I guess, grow that idea of, you know, community service and citizenship, patriotism, that kind of stuff. So, graduated high school at 17 and quickly thereafter went into the Army. Had my 18th birthday in basic training. That was an experience.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did 3 years in the infantry in the Army. Had a blast. I recommend that to anybody that's interested in that kind of thing. Got done with the Army. Did my first stint in college in Salisbury State University. Salisbury State University, not steak. Ha ha.
I just got hungry.
Ha ha ha. Yeah. Did that and came down here during the summertime between classes. Ended up working security at Busch Gardens nearby. That's where I met my wife. She was working there too. We've been together ever since. So just celebrated our 25th not too long ago. And once I was finished up with college, I was like, hey, how do I start towards that FBI career kind of thing? It's time to do that next step. And one of the guys that worked at Busch Gardens was like, hey, you should check out Newport News Police Department. I said, that's a great idea. It's where I live. You know, it's the city I live in. So ended up applying. Did not know at the time that it was like super hard to get on. It was the only place I ever applied to. I walk into the first test and I think it was like the written test and, there's like 300 people in this room and like half of them are wearing like deputy uniforms and stuff. And I'm like, I'm screwed. I'm not getting this, you know? So I take the test, turn it in. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll go find another job somewhere else. And they call me like, hey, I need to come out and run around circles and jump over a wall or something. And I was like, okay, cool. So I come out for that and do that. Make the time cut out, kind of thing. And like a month or two later, they call me and say, I need to come in here and get videotaped in front, you know, the old, BPAD. Yeah. The behavioral assessment thing that you got to sit through. They put you through these scenarios And I was like, this is outlandish. And I'm pretty certain that my responses are not the right ones. And they call me back and I'm like, okay, cool. So I kept coming back. Short story long, you know, made it through the process. It took like back in the day, it was like 6 or 8 months.
6 months, yeah. For me too. Absolutely.
Yeah. So they call me and it was like, it was like June 28th or 29th, something like that. And they call me at work. My background investigator is like, hey, would you like to start the academy? And I'm like, yeah, heck yeah. You know, when is it? Oh, it's Monday. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to tell my boss I'm not going to be here in 3 days, you know? And
it's a quick 2 week notice.
Yeah. I was like, man, I feel so bad. Oh. So sorry, Busch Gardens. Matter of fact, the security supervisor that was there, he's still working there. Great guy. But yeah, so did the academy thing, moved through that, field training, all that, had an absolute blast, learned a lot, some crazy experiences, got out on my own, started working, and that's when we really started to, you know, get involved with interacting with different people in the community.
Right.
You know, you go for your calls for service and stuff, and then when you're not on a call for service, you can be proactive and get out there in the community. And that's when I started to realize that I wanted to kind of be like where the rubber meets the road kind of thing. And I started to less think about the FBI and more think about staying here.
Right.
Because I mean, I could be wrong, but in my mind, you know, with the different alphabet agencies like the FBI and stuff, it's a lot of like reactive. You get a case, it's a manila envelope in front of you, and basically you have these different envelopes of different cases on your desk, and you just kind of shuffle them around as you work on them. And I just, me personally, wanted to be more involved with actual families and people and just see them through that kind of
human beings. Yeah. Interaction.
Yeah. So I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah.
And you've been very successful at it. And I have to back up just a little bit. Earlier, you said something about this year I'm assigned to. And the reason I bring it up is that we have an opportunity in this particular agency to not only have upward movement, but lateral movement as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So in 3 years, we can be assigned somewhere else, and thus we're able to diversify our career and keep that interest, right? Or else guys like me and you and young ladies like Melissa wouldn't be here as long as we are. So can you talk a little bit about the different units and divisions and so forth that you've served in while you've been here 24 years?
Sure. You want any other questions answered? Because that's going to take a while. No, I'm kidding.
24 years worth, right?
Yeah. So, past 7-8 years, I think I've moved just about every year, which is cool because you get to do different things. You don't get, you know, tied up on, you're not in the same place for 10 years. You're like, man, what am I going to do today? Oh, the same thing as yesterday, you know? So I did the first part of my, like everybody else, you know, the first 8 years or so I did in patrol. Most of that was up north. I did a little time on South Hip downtown, high impact policing, where we were basically chasing drug dealers every day and stolen cars and that kind of stuff. Absolutely had a blast doing that. But I spent most of my time in North Precinct. Went a different route than a lot of people do in their career. A lot of people will do a patrol or investigation or something like that. And I was the weird one and went to community resource. Did that for about a year and a half, learned a lot about like crime prevention and how to look at problems and root causes and how to try to permanently fix the situation. So we're not just going to the same call for service day in and day out. Did that. Somebody told me like, hey, why don't you put in for sergeant? I was like, I don't know if I'm really ready to put in for it just to experience the process, and got promoted.
Good for you.
Yeah. Ended up back downtown, midnight shift, which had an absolutely amazing time. Had a great group of guys and gals. A lot of them are still here. Some of them work for me now as sergeants, and very, very fun, entertaining experience. Went from there, went back up north to evening shift. Spent a little bit of time supervising the high impact team up there. Ended up having a minor issue with my elbow during a training exercise, and got reassigned to logistics. And I thought, okay, you know, I was talking to God and I was like, okay, you get assigned to logistics or supply is what it was called at the time as a sergeant, like at the end of your career, you know, And I'm like, all right, I'm done. This is where I'll ride my career out. You know, this is where people stay for 8 or 10 years and then retire. And I'm like, this, okay, cool. But I learned a lot there. I learned a lot about logistics, how to take care of stuff, the budget, all those kind of things. 3 years later, ended up putting in for a lieutenant to see how the process is. Got promoted. went up north. You were the day shift lieutenant, and I was the evening shift lieutenant. Yes. And I do appreciate that you worked before me, because every day when he went home, I would enjoy moving things around on his desk.
So you're the one that yes. moved his stuff around.
Yeah, yeah, it's good yeah. to know we're still doing that to each other.
Yeah. Because, you know, he's a slightly particular person.
That's a good way
slightly
to put it.
Slightly is yes. a slightly really particular. Nice word.
Yeah. So I enjoyed moving stuff around on his desk, and he would come back and be like perfect the next day. So if you did it on my desk, I'd be like 3 months later. I'd be like, I don't know, right. whatever. So did evening shift up there. Then I went to day shift central precinct. Mm-hmm. Huge mistake for me of that being the first time ever working central precinct was as a lieutenant. Got there. The captain at the time there said, hey, welcome aboard. Just let you know in 3 months I'm getting activated for 6 months to go in the military. And you're going to be the acting commander of central precinct.
I'm like, you're it.
I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, and it was cool. Very good learning experience. Helped me get to where I am today, I think. Met some interesting people. Had a good time. And I can talk about the refugee thing here a little bit, but that's really where it spurned that. So I was there for about 6 months as acting captain. And he called me one day and said, hey, just let you know I extended for another 4 months or so. So most of my time at the Central Precinct, I was the acting captain. Ended up getting transferred to, I think it was called internal support at the time or something like that. Right. It was basically the community policing unit that was developed. So had like all the SROs, the school resource officers, and all the community policing activities that we had. Did that for 3 years. Then got transferred up to North Precinct to be one of the sector lieutenants up there. We transitioned from where the lieutenants worked a certain shift to now they worked a certain sector, which was basically half the precinct.
Sure.
And I had worked on a suggestion, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, a couple of years before that, saying, hey, if we were to do like a platoon beat planning thing, this is what it could look like.
Right.
And then to see this to come to fruition, I was like, hey, I really, 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 really would like to participate in this. Right. The chief was nice enough to let me go up there and try it out.
So eventually you got promoted to captain.
Yeah.
Actually, before that, we worked together.
Yes. So when we were we were all at community policing together at one time.
The trifecta, if you will.
Yes. We did, I don't know, 4.6 billion different youth outreach.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Activities. Summertime was fun.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. But it's awesome to see that next generation, you know, where you get to have a positive impact on them. And now we start seeing that some of the recruits that I saw come through since I've been there were in some of the programs that we did.
Yes.
So it's cool to me. It's cool to see that progression where we were like, hey, to help get them safe and sound where they're at, build upon them, and then get them into the door. That's really, really cool. So got promoted out of North Precinct, became a captain, went back to Central Precinct as captain for a year. Then went over to community outreach again, and then came here.
And here we are.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So loving every minute of it.
Yeah. And where else can you go, meaning another agency, where you can move around that much?
Get that much experience.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, if that's your thing, you want to stay on midnight shift somewhere.
Sure.
Or, you know, I really like North Precinct. They'll let you stay there for years on end if you want. Or if you want to be, you know, a detective in a certain unit, you're able to stay there. But if you want to move around or you want to get promoted, 100% the opportunity is there.
This is the place to be.
Yeah. Everybody has to work on their skills, their abilities, their experience, and show that they're ready for that next step, and you know they'll let you do it.
And opportunities exist, as we can all three attest.
So
all of that we just heard you talk about, there are two that I I did not hear you talk about that are okay. pretty big. I want to hear you talk about those.
Okay.
SISM is the first one.
Oh, yeah.
And then the drone unit is the second one.
Okay. Yeah.
Tell the folks a little bit about those.
Sure. Yeah. I like to start new things. So if the chief ever wants like a new program or something made, I'm happy to help out. I'll talk about the drone one first for just a half a minute. I knew nothing about drones, be honest with you. I enjoyed the technology piece of it, but they put out a letter one day for interest. And when they were first starting this whole thing, and they're like, hey, anybody wants to be a pilot, a drone pilot, they can put in. So I asked the person that was overseeing at the time, I'm like, hey, can sergeants or lieutenants or somebody put in? And they're like, well, it doesn't say you can't. I'm like, okie dokie. So put in for it as a lieutenant. And I just wanted to be a pilot. That's all I wanted to do, is learn that. And so I got it. So we formulated this unit. Bought a bunch of equipment. They're very expensive, but they're pretty cool. But to get your pilot's license for a drone pilot, there's a lot. There was a couple of months of training that we had to go through. And then you go and you take this test like all the other pilots do. And coming from the Army, like I know how to read a map. But then they show you this like flight plan map thing that has all these different towers and like how high you can fly and all this other stuff. And I'm like, this is insane. Yeah. So it's not for the faint of heart if you don't want to study, but it's pretty cool to get out there and fly some of these really, really interesting machines. So,
right.
And we fly them nice and slow and make sure we don't break anything. Yeah. We're not like the super, stunt pilots or anything.
With precision, if you will.
Sure. Yes. We hardly ever crash them.
Hardly ever.
Yeah. But no, so that was fun. I enjoyed that experience. So I was a drone commander for about a year and change until I got promoted to captain. But yeah, one of the big ones that's near and dear to my heart is the SISM team, the Critical Incident Stress Management team. When I was on the when I came on the department, like 2 months after I got released to independent patrol, so I got, after I got off probation. So you go through your field training time, and then you're still not like completely on your own. You have a sergeant that like oversees your development every month,
sure,
for a couple more months, and then you finally, after a year and a half, you're off of that. And like 2 months after that, so not even 2 years on the department, I got involved in a shooting. Which never goes how you expect it to. And it was really weird back then. It was like 2002, where, internal affairs will come out and you're like, okay, kind of give me a brief rundown of what happened. Okay, got it. This, and this. And then they're like, don't talk to anybody, including your family, anyone, and we'll get back to you. So like 3 months goes by and I'm pretty sure they forgot about me because I had to go talk to one of the IA guys one time and I was like, hey, are we going to wrap this thing up or what? And he's like, oh yeah, we really need to do that. And so the whole time I'm not even being thought of, whereas every day it's kind of in my head what happened. And that was a impactful experience for me. So years go by and we start hearing about these ideas of basically creating this like peer support for officers, or this critical incident stress management team where an officer or an employee is involved in a critical incident like a shooting or some sort of horrible death scene or something like that, where it leaves a psychological impact on them. And there's other units, other agencies that had this group that would come out of peers that would work with these officers to help them get them back kind of right on track. Or if they need additional services, then we can get them to do that. I'm like, hey, this is a great idea. It's a great idea. So it was a little slow moving to getting it started. But finally, after a while, we got enough of the right people in the right room to get it going. We ended up starting that. And short story long, went to some really good training. I can talk about the conference I went to. It was life changing.
What year, JP? I apologize for interrupting you, but yeah. What year did you begin that SISM team? Do you recall?
I think it was like 1968. No, feels like it.
Yeah. We've had it.
So I think I've been off the team now for 2 years, which is another thing. It's a good time. It's good to take a break.
Right.
On occasion. I learned that the hard way. But I was the commander of some capacity for about 8 years. So right. it was 8 years before that. So I would say about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So 1968. Yeah.
It has been an absolutely game. It's been a game changer for us.
Yeah. Those group of men and women, amazing group of people. So yeah. that's police officers, civilians,
park rangers, fire department.
Yeah. Huge wealth of support.
They are.
And I know for a fact, working with certain people indirectly through them as the commander, that we've saved lives. It's amazing.
I agree. And I had the pleasure of serving on the team for a while.
Yep.
And the interesting thing about my story is, because I suffered from post-traumatic stress, is I had suffered in silence for quite a few years before I actually applied for the CISM team. And during my interview for the CISM team, and I was selected, is when somebody on that panel said, "That guy right there, we need to get him some help because he is suffering in silence. Nobody knows about it." And my thought was, I am going to join this team to support people so they don't have to go through what I did. And because of that individual on the board, who will remain nameless, but I owe her so much, she identified it. And later I went to the precinct in which she was the commander. She sent me to this retreat where other people like me were there. And then I came to the conclusion that what I was going through was absolutely normal based on the experiences, the accumulative experiences over the almost 25 years of law enforcement. And I have to tell you that that's the kind of work that CISM does. It provides people like me with the longevity that would never have taken place hadn't somebody spotted something in me, which made me very passionate about giving it back, paying it forward, if you will. So that team does incredible, incredible work. And 11 years ago, because it's been around for 10 years, that would not have happened.
Right.
So we have to make sure we thank that team. You guys do amazing work. So I wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt you guys because we're getting a little bit close to our rapid fire section.
Oh, my goodness.
But I wanted to give Captain Smith an opportunity to talk about his most recent accomplishment. And I thought that was a good segue. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk about a cop's dream?
Oh, yeah. Putting you on the spot, JP.
I thought it was me putting both my shoes on this morning without any help. It's an accomplishment every day. So I wrote a book recently. It was a very cathartic experience. It's called A Cop's Dream, and it's about mental health and law enforcement and first responders. And it covers basically the idea, the whole premise of it is the cop's dream is, you know, we all have it. So it's a normal thing where you go to some call for service that's very impactful to you, and for some reason it shows up in your dreams. You know, like for example, if somebody has a shooting, it won't turn out the same way it normally does, or how it did in real life. It'll be altered. Like for example, you pull your gun out and you squeeze the trigger, and it's like really hard to pull the trigger, or you pull the trigger and the bullet just dribbles out, or something, or your gun just doesn't work, or something like that, and the guy's just sitting there laughing at you. It's called a cop's dream. That's what it is. We have that, and it's very normal. So, if you're experiencing that, it's absolutely normal. Firefighters have one too, where like they turn the hose on, the water just kind of dribbles out or something like that. Nurses have one. There's a lot of people that have those kind of things, and the big thing to know is that it's absolutely normal.
Right.
But in the book, it's kind of a mishmash of about a year and a half of ideas I put together in regards to personal experiences and things I learned and I've taught over the years about how to just kind of deal with some of the mental health issues that we see personally, and then each other too, our partners, you know, on the street. So it's for police officers, young and old. It's for supervisors. Even got a partner for the chiefs. It's for the community, family members, that kind of thing. There's a little bit in there for everybody. So.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Available on Amazon.
Available on Amazon, is that what you said? Absolutely.
My gosh. Awesome.
I commend you. That's an amazing accomplishment. I think we have just gotten to a great place where we can talk and discuss those things. Because like you said, you know, just a few years ago, it was so taboo to share those kinds of things with each other. So clearly we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It is. I mean, we're in a profession of like the alpha male, alpha female kind of thing. Right. It's like I'm so macho, and
right.
you know, heaven forbid I show that there's like some sort of emotional side to me, right. and yeah. So it's you never know what is going to affect you at the end of yep. the day. You know, yep. I could send 100 officers to the exact same call. And 99 of them can be completely fine with it. And that one officer, sure. based on their personal experiences or life or whatever it is affected traumatically. Yeah. And I can take that same 100 officers and I can send them to another call. And that one officer that was affected by the first one has nothing to do with them. They're fine.
Right. Yeah.
But the other 99 will be affected. So you right. just never know who it is, how it's going to affect them. But yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So. Congratulations, an accomplished author.
Right.
Love yeah. it. JP, you're such a yeah. good man. You know, I've known you for a long time, so has Melissa. You're always giving back, and this is another example of that. Always paying it forward. So,
yeah.
We ready for rapid fire, Kel? What are you thinking?
Absolutely.
Melissa, would you do the honors and start?
I'll get us started, okay. And this is a good one. iPhone or Android?
Android.
That's
I
what
know.
I'm talking about.
I know.
iPhone. No disrespect to the iPhone folks, but not a fan.
Does the cheese stand alone? Am I the only iPhone lover up here?
Yeah, well, sorry. So I've had both. I just don't know. I like the Android a little better.
I'm standing on business.
Okay.
There's no rhyme or reason. It's just that's what it is. Yeah.
Italian, Mexican, or Asian food?
Ooh. Probably in that order.
In that order.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Sounds yeah. good. Let's do that.
Italian, Mexican, Asian. That is exactly that order, actually.
All right.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm going with Mexican. I've recently discovered birria tacos. Is that how you say it? Oh, gosh.
Delicious. Italian. No doubt.
Who would have thunk?
Yep.
If you had said Asian food, I think I would have fallen out of my chair. I'm just saying. All right, next one. Sedan, SUV, pickup truck, or van?
I guess it depends on when what time of life you're at. I've had all of them. I'll say the SUV is probably one of my go-to.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have a good pickup, too.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my kids are older, so I really don't need the van anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough, I'm a pickup truck girl. F-150 yeah. all day.
No, I'm not
I love my F-150.
Do you really?
Oh, gosh.
No. I'm not embarrassed to tell you I love a good van. Especially with the doors opening on both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wait,
man.
And they have the buttons that yeah, open it yeah, for absolutely. You.
Or you can
back.
Do it with the key or the button, whatever that thing is. Yeah. All right.
Very good. Go for it.
Ice cream flavor. You ready? Chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry?
In that order. Neapolitan, absolutely.
Neapolitan.
Yes, I will absolutely go buy a big old thing of Neapolitan and just work back and forth on it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed in the selection here.
Oh, you need like what, you like the Rocky Road kind of
girl? Yeah, she likes the...
How did you know?
Yeah, it's a wild guess.
Which one? Come on.
Oh, it's simple. Just give me vanilla. Simple, yeah. Because you can put so many things on top of vanilla. Chocolate and strawberry are complicated. Oh. You know what I mean? Just vanilla, put whatever you want. You can put chocolate on vanilla.
You don't see a lot of people putting like vanilla something or other on chocolate ice right. cream. You're right.
There you go. All right. Here okay. we go. Next question.
Bike, jog, or swim?
Definitely not bike based on my personal experiences.
Yeah.
Swim is good. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take that. Actually, if you gave me a fourth choice, I would say hike, but okay. 100%.
Hiker. You yes, like hiking.
Absolutely, 100%.
Hiking so, is yeah. literally yeah. just yes. walking, right?
It is literally just walking. Yeah.
Just put in a really backpack, pretty places.
Yeah, put a backpack on there and spend a couple of nights out in the middle
see
of nowhere.
See the world, man, on backpack. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I'd have to say swim, but it kind of gets expensive with the hair thing and the water.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah. I'm definitely.
Yeah, I yeah. completely
bike
understand.
For me. You understand that yeah. too, yeah. right?
Bike for me, thing. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Bike.
Yeah. Thanks a million for being here today, JP.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We had yeah. fun working together, didn't we, three?
We did.
We had a lot of laughs, but we did good work.
We did.
We did good work. And, yeah. and I would be remiss if I didn't say that I would put this out there to anyone, but JP, you're probably one of the most, you're one of the most kind people I've ever worked with. You always care about people, not only the citizens, but internally, and especially the people in your charge. And you are a gentleman leader, and I appreciate you, and I really have,
appreciate
it's
it.
Been a blessing working with you.
The old golden rule, you know, that's yeah. what I look for, so.
Yep, yep. absolutely.
How you want to be treated.
Yep. Yep. Melissa, do you have anything about some kind of buttons and stuff?
That I do. I think right. there's some buttons. There's a couple of buttons you can press down at the bottom if you're watching YouTube. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, and anywhere you find your podcast will be there.
Absolutely. Appreciate you joining us. Cheers, everyone.
Unit 38, this is 2-1.